Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go.
And this is Life Conversations on the Edge. I'm Joel Martin.
And I'm Margaret Went. I'm right on the edge.
Yeah, we're on the edge, actually. We really are.
And there, our guest is Mickey Jacobs, the woman who talks to Angel. And on the other side, on our guest and our website, right, Julie?
Yes. Oh, yes. Very much. And for those who are interested in ethnicity and accents, the accent is slightly Middle Eastern, I guess. But living in the United States, of course. And Mickey has a substantial knowledge of Angel, something Margaret and I, not that we disagree, we just view it. We just view them differently. And later we'll be joined by someone else, a young lady by the name of Elise, who loves them and studies them. But Margaret and I just don't seem to see angels in the same way.
And let me explain that. Up until Mickey's getting me different, Joel and I have been partners for many years, and Joel loves angels, as does our guest who's kind of very close, to very dear to Joel and I. Mickey is, you know, talks to the angels. I always saw them as tchotchkes. You know, things my mother bought and put in her plants.
Little statues and novelties.
And I, from Catholic school, we have that prayer of that angel. You know, so I don't understand angels. Now, I'm beginning to understand them, but Mickey gets a very big
kick. Yeah, you're getting
out.
Warming up today, specifically your Archangel Michael.
Yeah, whom I can affectionately call Mike. I get too tight. I'm going to.
I never heard the Archangel Michael called Mike, but all right.
Well, I find it
quite fascinating, actually.
Mickey, what? Could you explain it? Because I call him Mike because I said to Mickey, I can't get to Archangel Michael. It's too confusing. Michael the Archangel, I don't know how to talk to him, so I don't talk. So now I say, hey, Mike, you know what? I was thinking this and that. Mickey said, okay.
I know. This is the first time all those years that I hear someone call Archangel Michael Mike.
Yeah, I've never heard that. That's a new one. I've got to remember that. That's wonderful.
I'm sorry. He doesn't mind, though.
He doesn't get insulted,
No. Actually, they're very, very playful. And the more playful we are, Archangel and Angel attract to funness and playfulness. So are the spirit guides, because, of course, their energy and they're pure. There's no more negativity of the physical body. So the more playful we are, the more uplift our energy, the angelic realm tend to kind of attract to us. They also love flowers very much. So if you want your angel to not only your team angels, but other angels, of course there are nature angels and all kind of different angels, then they always tell when I do reading to get more flowers in the house. They're just attracted to roses. They just like flowers. They do.
That's directly opposite of the feng shui, who say they don't like flowers in the house, because if the flower starts to die, then it's death in the house. So explain that. That's interesting, huh, Julie?
It is, yeah. I had a question
really?
About the same. Yeah. I had a question about that, too. I thought that there was a belief that that was something they didn't want, but okay, you say they want them.
They do, Joel, they do. They like flowers, in specifically roses. You know, when they send out their love to us, they always give me a vision of, like, yellow roses, which is friendship. So they do attract to roses. They tell people, if their energy is low, please go to nature and interact with nature, meaning around the trees or grass. But in particularly flowers, if you have no nature around your house, meaning garden or property, then just bring the flowers in. So flowers and playfulness, and when someone is upbeat and positive, they seem to get attracted to those type of human beings. That's why a lot of time they always tell me, even when you have a hard, difficult days, kind of try to keep upbeat and playful and never lose sense of humor. And that's why I kind of try to laugh a lot. I mean, I know now that it's attract a lot of light beings, meaning Archangel and Ascended Masters. And the spirit world is very uplift, very, they're light. It's all light and pure energy. So
yes.
I tell people in this hard world, try to stay as upbeat as you can. I know it's difficult, easier said than done, but they are attracted to that very much.
Okay, Joy.
Margaret, please go ahead. Yeah.
No, I'm just going to say what you're probably going to say. When a tragedy occurs, I'm not really very upbeat or even a hard day, you know.
That's exactly what I was going to go for, yeah.
Yeah.
What do you do in those times when you have terrible tragedies and you wonder if there even are angels, let alone if they're there to help?
Of course.
And why didn't they prevent the tragedy, you know?
Sure. Then you're not upbeat. Then you just let your emotion and then just go with it. It's always, actually, just as I was getting ready to get to the show, because I was talking to specifically Archangel Michael as I was sitting here in my healing room, and I was telling him it's kind of getting tiring when I tell people about karma and if you got tragedy, you know, just believe. And what he was saying, that to touch the subject of faith, eventually you would have to give up to the side of spirituality, meaning a lot of us humans say that's a cop-out. I know Margaret and me said that last time. You mean next lifetime they're going to get their thing. But eventually you have to surrender and believe that the plan is organized and there is karma and there is reason to tragedies or to someone that die young. Because eventually you have to surrender and really believe in spirituality, not necessarily religion with its strict rules.
Yes.
But there is a creator. So he was telling me that to touch that in the radio shows in the future, and he said that part of being here is discover the God all over again, discover who we are. And that means eventually you would have to just release and say, if someone 20-year-old is gone, there must be something beneath that. It cannot be cruel without any reason. So faith is another thing that we come here to discover, because of course we know that there is God, that beautiful force, we just forgot. So it's very difficult, of course. So if someone had great tragedy, I always patient with them. No, you don't have to smile and walk around with a mask of being happy. You just experience your emotional sadness. However, slowly by slowly you have to realize that the plan is deeper and multi-level. So it takes years, Joel. It's very, very difficult to just say, I trust God. I mean, I know there's like Sunday people that go and they follow God, but depend how they act all week.
Yes.
That's, to me, extremely important. If they act all week, acting as if they trust that there is God and his plan, then that's okay. A lot of people don't. They go to Sunday or Saturday synagogue, and they don't act like that all week. So that's something that takes years to build, to truly trust and believe that there is a creator. So, yeah.
Do we have our other guests on the line?
I think we're going to in just a moment from the way the light is going.
I don't know what your engineers tell me. Mine, I don't see. I know we have another.
I just see a little blinking light, but I'm going to see if we can get it picked up in a moment. I'm just curious about something, though. The angels, now you communicate with them, yes?
Yes.
But how? Do you hear them?
Pardon?
Did you see or hear them?
I call myself clairaudient. This is supposedly I hear.
Well,
but
psychic hearing.
But the thing is, Joel, I don't hear them. The knowledge comes through me. Meaning in a reading, all of a sudden, I just say it out. I say out who is here, I say out information. So then when people ask me every time, they say, do you hear them? And I said, it's not as if I hear you. It's not a phone call, or else they would tell me my name is such and such and say hi. It's the knowledge come through me. And when I ask what is it, they say that I've been doing that work in other past life. So I'm simply connected to the one mind of the knowledge. So the knowledge kind of come through me. That's why I always hold paper and notebook, and I kind of write down once the knowledge comes.
But
so
is this
not listening like I'm listening to you?
Yeah, I understand. But is this knowledge available to everyone? I mean, this kind of communication or not really?
It is available to everyone, but it took a lot of work, Joel, because although it was my dharma, meaning I meant to be a medium this life, not when I born, but when I was 32, it did took a lot of work. Because if I had different choices, meaning if I wasn't as stubborn to teach myself to quiet my mind, to meditate, to believe, to have that trust that indeed I do communicate with the spirit world, I wouldn't do it.
Let's clear one thing up. You said dharma, and people are going, huh? Because maybe people use the word karma for everything, and what people and a lot of people have written in and said, Margaret, what's dharma? Well, dharma is actually the reward of karma, right? It's your it's your destiny, kind of like.
Yes, it is your destiny.
Yeah, because people are going, well, what does she mean her dharma? You know, did she say karma?
Good question. Yes.
Yeah. Well, we all can be medium because we all connected to the one mind, meaning we all have that same energy we all created by him. But you have to be, you have to really want it. And I learned over the years, you have to be unjudgmental, you have to be compassionate to people, and you truly want to help that way. I know that it's funny that Clayton, my husband, yesterday, he said, honey, I know that's not my dharma.
he's joking, but I mean, in all seriousness, there's so much negativity in this world, and it doesn't seem to be getting better. I mean, if we think that things are improving, I just think that human beings cannot grow any more spiritually. I'm very cynical. I think we've gone as far as we can go. And if a guardian angel came down and hit a congressman in the head with his wing, I don't think it would make him any smarter. You just watch what goes on in politics, and you watch the level of crime and violence and greed.
Yeah.
I mean, it becomes very discouraging.
Yeah.
And when you look
but
through
you
some
know
of the
what,
books...
Joel, there is a shift in spirituality. I know it's tough for you and for me because I tell them the same thing. I mean, I'm pretty tough with my team. I don't just don't ask questions. And I said, it doesn't look that they're telling me that human race have hope because that's what they say. And they say that there is a shift in spirituality. There's more than ever amount of mediums, light workers, spiritual teachers. So those are all guides that we come here and try to make the shift in the positive energy. So I know that evil and negative, it's easy to see, to watch, because it's so awful, but there is a lot of shift in positive. If it's going to overtip the negative, I don't know, I'm kind of with you, Joel. I mean, there's a lot of evil. But according to the spirit world, there is a hope for us.
Really?
FYI, guys,
yeah.
FYI, just so everybody out there knows, she's no Pollyanna. Joel and I have. Joel mostly uses that word Pollyanna, but Mickey goes through her own. She has her own thing she's going through right now. So I'm sitting here listening. I happen to know what some of her own problems are, and I'm sitting here listening. And if I had your problem, I don't think I'd be talking about angels. I'd be cursing. God help me. Not cursing like swear
yes,
other
yes.
words, but just.
What Margaret says is an interesting point because. It's easy for someone to listen to us now and say, everything must be going wonderful for this lady. And, she's one of those few who has no problems. So it's like the rich guy who says, hey, pull yourself up to the poor guy, But you're saying that you have, what they are, you two have problems and yet you're able to keep the faith.
Big problem.
Well, the bottom line, Joel, is we are ready to lose the house, so we're fighting very hard not to lose the house.
Huh.
I mean, I'm just saying this is just one of the things is that I trust the spirit world by now. I know the concept of the physical world, meaning there are ups and there are down, meaning they always tell me, Mickey, look at your past. And of course, I needed to experience a lot of harsh things, childhood and divorce and illness, and to be able to do what I do. That's the reason it came to me later in life. And they always tell me, as far as 2 days ago, they say, look at your past. You were always safe. The up was up and okay, and then the down was okay. You will be always... So it took me many years to trust that it's just the way the physical world is. Even if I lose the house, I'll be okay. I'll go to another house. I just always ask that my kids, meaning my animals, will all stay together. I have a wonderful, powerful, strong marriage. So then I concentrate on that, but it took years. I myself remember myself crawling down on the floor, and I say, God, why am I alone? I was alone for many years, for 5 years, just single, not a dater, so I was just really just by myself. And I say, why did you forget me? What is going on? And living from paycheck to paycheck, having in Israel, all the family in Israel was very lonely and suffered from panic attack many years. So no, I earn it with hard work, faith, and dedication to knowing that this is a school. Now, if I come to people that come to reading and they cry, I'm not going to sit and tell them, nah, this is school, just don't worry about it. Of course not. But it is school. It is for us to learn. Everything happened for a reason, as much as it sounds a cliche. I mean, I lost an ex-husband of 18 years to a seizure. So, yeah, it takes time. It takes time to really, really trust that we are not alone, that they're guiding us and helping us. I wouldn't do what I do if I had an easy ride.
And that's interesting.
I needed to experience what it means not to have money and what it is to be divorced. I needed to experience that, so now I can relate to others.
Okay, I can't argue that.
Yeah,
hey, Elise, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Hi.
Oh.
Hi, everyone.
Oh, hi, Elise.
Hi,
God Elise, bless you.
Have you been listening to a little bit?
Yes, I have. It sounds wonderful.
Well, thank you, but putting that aside, you've had a lifelong bout with very serious illness, and you're a strong believer in angels.
Yes.
Not in the way Margaret sees them, not as little. Not
okay,
as little Margaret
Long. By the way, Elise sent me years ago, and I still have it on my, I have an altar where I have the Blessed Mother and Christ. The Blessed Mother and I, we got a thing going on and Christ. But
yes.
So Elise sent me the Arcle,
Michael.
Yeah, Arcle, Mike. She sent me Mike, the gold medal of Mike, right? And I put it
Mikey.
By my, yeah, old Mike there. And I put it. He's always there with my Blessed Mother, and
that's wonderful.
You know which one, Elise?
Yes, I do. There was a very special coin of Saint Michael that was made in the. In France, a bronze coin.
Oh.
It's beautiful.
And it has a little stand, and it's just right there. And I always say, I wonder why Elise, such a spiritual, beautiful girl, sent this to me. Because I don't even, to me, now that isn't a tchotchke. That's just a nice little gold, beautiful artifact you see, that's not a tchotchke, but you see, that's what angels are. That someone who loves me gave me. Mother gave me a little angel to put in my plant. Elise gave me that beautiful angel.
But
you are
warming up to them, Margaret.
Yes,
I can just sense it, that you talk to me more, don't you?
yeah. But, I mean, Joel and I had this conversation once, and he goes, Margaret, I believe in angels. And I'm like, okay, fairies and angels, yippee. And Joel, and Elise, so you guys get to, don't count
you
me
know,
in.
You know, Elise, that when you got to the phone, your guardian angels, which are two male guardian angels, I have never felt such an immense love. I mean, I have goosebumps from the love. So they want to say hi to you.
Oh,
now,
tell
the guardian
them I
angel.
Love them.
Pardon, honey?
I love them, and I thank them for a lifelong guardianship.
Do they hear
good.
Her? Can they hear her?
Oh, of course.
She doesn't have to go.
She feels so good because I feel that
does she
love.
Have to go through you? No, I understand.
No, honey.
I've heard.
I don't know.
Those,
like Verizon
I was
or something.
Anointed to hear my guardian angel, and within 24 hours, I did hear from one of my guardian angels.
Oh.
And it was a male voice, like you said.
Yeah.
And I heard it clear as day and said, "I've been with you since the beginning. I've been with you throughout your whole life."
You know, the guardian angels are usually. Kind of, if you can translate it to human language, they're a little bit more shy, meaning the archangel being more powerful because they're higher in level. They're the one that coming in and take, but your guardian angel, just before you came to the line, they're saying, please mention that we they love you so much.
Oh.
They guard your bed, just so you know when you're asleep.
Oh.
So they guard you and wrap your energy. It's just lovely, Elise.
Oh. I love them so much. I love all of them. And I pray to them and thank them all the time.
Now, Elise.
Oh, honey.
Given that you have a serious illness, be serious now. This is not a joke question. Do they actually help you through that somehow?
Yes. Well, when I pray, they help me in my prayer. They help me think clearer. They give me like little thoughts of positive ways to deal with the illness.
Oh.
And they point me in the right direction to get to the right doctor or next.
Yeah.
How do you know, Lisi? How do you know? I mean, how do you know it's them? I mean, Mickey talks to them, but you don't claim to be a medium or talk to them, but you're just very religious and very spiritual and very, you're just God-centered, no matter, call it what you will. You like to speak white light of God, religion, spiritual, everything. So do you know?
I've been praying since I was 4 years old, and I meditate in prayer for hours. Sometimes I pray 2 hours a day, meditate for 2 hours a day. So through the time, I can identify where the thought is coming from.
Yeah.
And sometimes they identify themselves.
Oh.
And sometimes I can see a little bit psychically.
Mm-hmm. Alice, why are they telling me that they're showing you vision of the spirit world?
They do.
Okay, because they're telling me that beautiful, vivid visions of the spirit world.
They do, and I don't tell anybody, but I see angels, and I see the Blessed Mother. I see Jesus. I see all kinds of beautiful things. Revelations, and I saw a cherubim.
How cute.
I read the Bible, and I see different angels.
Joey, I want some of that tea.
Bob Marvin?
I want some of that tea.
Yeah, really. I know. I'm thinking the same thing.
It's so exciting to meet you.
Have you ever heard Joel and I? Hey, guys. Have you ever heard Joel and I so quiet? I'm sitting there going, Jolie, are you here?
No, I recognize that quiet between you, and I say, oh, dear.
Maybe I'm
drinking the wrong stuff. I just drink green tea. I don't know.
I believe it, but I'm just in awe to listen to you. It's like I want to start singing Love Letters in the Sand.
Yes.
I'm very happy because I adore Elise, and I couldn't be happier that you two you speak the same language. I'm just listening.
And let me tell
listening.
You, Elise, because I don't want to forget. Now, Archangel Uriel is your main archangel. He's the archangel of hope when you feel hopeless, when you feel there's dark days. If you translate his name in Hebrew, in the Kabbalah, and it's Or, meaning he's the light.
This is Ariel?
Ariel meaning Or. Or meaning in Hebrew is light. So he's the archangel of... So just so you know, he want to obviously say hi, how much he loves you. He's in front of you, and he's the archangel of light, giving you light when you may be a little bit down or feel
Praise
a little
God.
Bit hopeless.
That's wonderful. Huh?
Well, Ricky, I mean, if it's okay with Joel, I mean, do you want to keep talking to each other about angels? I'm learning. I'm just listening.
No, let them talk, I guess, as far as I'm concerned.
You
because I, Margaret, frankly, I think they're at a level that I is above anything that's I've had contact with.
Honey,
really.
I'm not Mac League. I'm way down here.
No,
I'm looking up and listening.
I don't consider myself in that league either because, as far as I know, anybody can be imparted with this gift.
Yes.
And if you pray and meditate... and concentrate on the Lord, it comes to you.
Alice, they ask me to ask you if you can talk to the listener, which I touched with Joel a little bit just a few minutes ago, because it takes a while to recognize that it is them talking. It is, you are communicating. So do you recall the time when you start saying, this is actually not my inner voice. This is actually real signs. Was there a shift in a certain time? Seven years ago,
she said.
Yeah.
Oh.
What happened
How,
seven
Lizzie?
Years ago?
How?
I started praying with a priest who blessed me with a relic. And that's when I started having experiences with hearing them and seeing them.
Oh.
So, I've known you for a lot longer than 7 years, and you've been talking angels for a long time, my friend.
Yes. Well, I had a feeling for them way before that, and I had them. I could see them, but I started hearing them.
Oh.
I could
now,
hear
Joel,
them
how
like
about you? Because I know Lisa. Now, Joel, you start out saying, I had different opinions, and I confess to my tchotchke thing. I'm getting better. What did you think? How did you see them? Because you see Lisa all the time, and you see Lisa all the time. Just you're in New York, I'm in L.A., Mickey's in the San Diego area.
She's so much more spiritually evolved than I am. I mean, it's we're not even
that.
On the same planet that way.
I know that.
I mean, really. Come on. I'm from Brooklyn. We don't have angels.
However, the Jill St. James, who's a scholar of the Kabbalah, however you said, we did a show with her, Mickey, and she said that Joel sees things in the realm of the angels. He sees names and people in colors, which is in the Kabbalah or the Kabbalah, however you say it, it's the angelic world. So you've got a bit of the angel in you too, Jolie. So I'm the only one that's earthbound here. So I get to, you know,
I don't think so, Margaret.
I don't think so. I have a different.
That's why I don't have the. So I wonder how you see them, Joel.
Well, it was going to be a question I was going to ask Mickey in a little while, but I can mention it here since you asked. I have a bunch of questions that I'm curious about concerning what you would call guardian angels. I've had a couple of very, very odd experiences in my life, and they centered around guardian angels, or what I would call guardian angels. And I've always wondered if angels of some non-human or spirit form could take a human form to do something to help you or to lead you in a certain direction if you're chosen or if you would agree to do it. So, for example, when I was a boy, I was a teenager, I worked after school in an insurance company. Now, this is an honest-to-God true story. And I had no idea what I was going to do with my life. I mean, with the exception of girls. I mean, nothing. I don't even think there was anything else that interested me in the world. I loved broadcasting, and I had been a child performer. So I figured that was good enough. Exactly where I was going to work, I don't know. But my parents were those, you know, very middle-class type people who said, you got to get a real job. And I didn't want a real job. I just wanted girls, and I didn't care. A little acting and modeling work was fine for me.
Yes.
One day when I was in the insurance company, I'm still a teenager, I was on the way to getting out of college. I got out of college fairly young, not because I was bright, believe me. It's just I skipped a year, I don't know. But it had nothing to do with intelligence, believe me. I'm getting out of college, so I'm 20, whatever it could be. And a guy comes over to me who says he works in the insurance company. Now, I'd never seen him before. Honest to God, true story. He introduces himself, and he says his name is Al, and that's all I can remember. And I said, hi, Al. Now, remember, I'm just a kid who's a clerk, and he was a guy who was already up there in a suit and tie in the insurance industry. And I said, hi, how do you do? Young guy, like I guess 20s, late 20s, and he starts to talk to me and tells me that I have to become a teacher. I said, excuse me? He said, no, you've got to teach. So I'll abbreviate the story. This guy, who I'd never seen before, very nice man, very gentle, directs me on how to become a teacher. Now, in New York City, if you work for New York City government, it is so complicated. Nothing in New York City is simple. Somebody somewhere sat and designed a system to make life as complicated and miserable as they could. And God, I don't know if God was involved or not, but they made it very complicated and miserable, and they named it New York. So the New York City government is particularly Byzantine. It's just too complicated. To become a teacher meant filling out all kinds of forms, taking a special examination, going for a special interview, then taking another examination. I don't know what the heck they were trying to prove, but this is the way they did it. I had no idea how you go about it. This young man tells me what forms to fill out, even got me some of them, directed me through the whole thing. I took the test, and I passed the test, and now I'm a licensed teacher.
Yeah.
I go to thank him. I go to look for him. He's not at that insurance company.
Never was.
I don't know who he was.
Well,
I never could find him. Nobody knew him.
Yeah, that was your guy, Joel, just so you know.
I don't know what that was. To this day, it's all... To this day, I pray for him, and it's always on my mind.
Oh.
And the other story Margaret knows very well, I introduced on the radio a man who became one of the greatest mediums of the 20th century.
One of the world's most famous, thanks to you.
we're without me. He, you know, George Anderson, of course, is a world-famous psychic medium. Now, the way I met George is more peculiar than anything that's probably ever happened to me in my life, equal to the story about Al forcing me to become a teacher. And then I go to look for him, and nobody knows him. I said, well, doesn't he work here? I don't know who he is.
Oh, my God.
Nobody knew who I was even talking about. And I looked. I mean, I really searched that insurance company.
Yeah.
Could not find such a person.
Yeah.
All right. So I figured a coincidence, you know, maybe he left, maybe he was transferred. I just let it go. I didn't understand this subject.
Mm.
I'm not, I'm still, you know, learning. I mean, you always learn in the subject. That's what's so fascinating about it.
Yes,
but
yes.
I do a call-in show with another psychic, a man by the name of Robert Petro, and a girl calls in, and something about her voice was just so captivating, just the way you said Elisa's voice gave you a certain energy.
Yes.
This girl's voice gave me a certain feeling and energy, too. She was just barely out of her teens, and she had lost her sight from diabetes. And the psychic, Robert Petro, invites her to meet him at a public appearance so that he could help her and talk to her at more length. Now, I don't go to public appearances. I'm notorious for, you know, being very, very, what I hate the word reclusive, but very private. What I do mostly on the weekends is I just fog up the mirror and I write my name in it. You know, I don't do anything. I'm very, very private.
Yeah,
I keep a very low profile. Take the garbage out of my, so only the raccoons see me, you know. But
that's a true story.
That's a true story.
That is
and
a true story.
I do, really. And so now all of a sudden, something told me I have to go to this public appearance. I have no idea why, because the girl said she'd be there. I didn't know if she really would or not, but something said to me, you have to meet her, you have to meet her. This voice in my head is driving me crazy.
Yeah.
So I go to this appearance, which was at a university on Long Island, and Robert Petro was there giving this presentation. It was a huge crowd of people. Yeah. Now, this is the honest-to-God truth. I'm not making up one word. I know some idiot somewhere who's a skeptic or an atheist or a debunker says, you're just making it up because they're paying you. Listen, jerk, I'm not getting paid to tell the story, so don't call me a liar. I can anticipate somebody somewhere sitting in Florida, just as an example, saying none of this is true.
They can hang up.
Huh?
Yes.
Then they can just hang up and not listen to us.
Yeah. So it's brief. What happens is I walk into this auditorium.
Yeah.
Now, nobody would have recognized me. I was only on radio at the time.
Yeah.
As I walk in, this is the honest to God truth, a man approaches me, tall, long hair, beard, wearing like a muumuu, like an open shirt, what they call in Africa sometimes, a dashiki. Yeah. It's just a long shirt.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, he looked like every painting you've ever seen of Jesus Christ. I mean, that's the way his beard and his hair was. He walks over to me. I'm not that tall, and he was very. And I was not about to argue or fight with him, even if I could have. He takes me by the hand and says, "You're Joel Martin." I said, "Excuse me? Aren't you?" I said, "Yes. Well, I've been waiting for you. You're here to meet the girl." He knew I was there to meet the young blind girl, the girl who was in I don't know 18 or 19 at the time.
Yes.
And he takes me over to her. He takes me through this crowd of people by the hand. I had no choice. I couldn't argue with him. I was stunned. He takes me over to her, and with that, I'm talking to her. I didn't even know where to find her, if she was even there.
Yes.
I turn around to him and I say, "Thank you." And he says, "Good luck. Things are going to work out fine. Just do what you have to do. I'll be listening. But I have to go." And with that, he's gone. Now, I've never again, I mean, 30 years later, not quite 30, it was in the early 1980s, I've never seen him again. I never saw him before. I never saw him again. I don't know who he was. That young lady, the girl who was blind,
yes,
began to work for me at the radio station where I did my nightly talk show. She's the one who introduced me to George Anderson, and if it hadn't been for her, I never would have met George, and I never would have met George without meeting her if it hadn't been for this man that I regard as a guardian angel, or perhaps you could call him a guide. Now,
yeah,
I wonder if, the rest of the story, of course, is that George became incredibly famous as a medium, one of the most famous and best in the world. And I always wondered if that series of events and those people were more than coincidence, if they were there especially to help, and who they were and why that would have happened, or do you just dismiss it as a coincidence?
Actually, as you were talking and your team got in, so what they were telling me, that they were a little disappointed that over the years you didn't trust those incidents a little more. The reason they were a little disappointed, Joel, because it doesn't matter what you said about yourself, you are an incredible evolved soul, very spiritual evolved, and they were hoping that you would, because there were a lot of different incidents like that. They're actually
yes.
telling me now more fascinated, but you kind of blocked yourself by, I don't think so. I don't think that
no, that's true. Game. That's true. No, that's,
it
that's
is it?
Part.
Okay, so they're a little bit kind of, again, they love you tremendously. So when they say disappointed, they're not upset. They're just saying that they were like some beautiful incident, like even more so than that. And unfortunately, your inner mind, which happened to most of us, blocked those. So that's why I say, that owl is your guide, and it took a shape of a physical body to let you in the insurance. The other one was another guide.
Oh, that's
so it just happened that they were not an angels. Now, keep in mind, the archangels would absolutely do everything to make their guidance known. They like the most, now you're going to laugh, is send emails.
What?
Yes, I know it's bizarre, Margaret. I just got an email a week ago from a client of mine, a woman. She said, Mickey, and it's all big letters in the email. She said, this morning I got up and I asked from the angels, because I teach them to talk to them, and to be a little more organized, because I'm a little bit chaotic in my professional life. And I got that email, which she sent it to me, and it's about the angels teaching human beings how to be organized, and no one signed. There's no signature. Now, she tried to go, and you know how you try, I'm not good at that, but she tried to get into the host or see who it is. So she was so fascinated, telling me, did they send it? And I said, sure, I mean, they're not coming here and getting a laptop and typing, but they manipulated that email to get to you. So they're incredible, magical, the way they do. If they really need to reach us, they will absolutely take a shape of a human being.
That's really what I was asking. Elise, have you ever had a situation where you've had that type of an encounter?
Well, I just recalled that I went to Mont Saint Michel in Brittany.
In France.
In France.
France, yeah.
And the castle of and the church of Saint Michael the Archangel.
Oh.
And I was 8 years old, and I gave my heart to Jesus and to Saint Michael, and
oh.
I told them, if you ever need anything, I was a little girl. I thought if you ever,
oh,
you know, like they would need me.
Oh.
I was, and that's the first experience I had with Saint Michael. I saw him.
Lissy, you have the most lovely, beautiful energy.
Oh.
I just love your energy. It's so lovely and so authentic. So I just, it's important for me to tell you that. That's me, not the thing.
You're lovely and sweet too.
Oh.
Thank you.
And did you got or receive, is there a new picture? Did you touch a new picture, got a new picture of angels?
Yes.
Why does...
I drew a picture of angels.
Okay.
And
is it recent? Because they like it. So.
Yes, and I made a tunnel to them of wings, angel wings, and then
they're really happy. They like it a lot and tell you how they enjoyed it. So this is just a little message.
Oh,
that's a mess release. And Joel's answer is, I'm sitting very quiet behaving myself, trying to listen to all this. So Joel's answer with the fact that he had those two angels, they were guardian angels, and they're disappointed because he's not getting enough emails?
No, honey, they were disappointed that over the years they were hoping that those two incidents would help him build a little more trust that he is very spiritually evolved soul. Meaning, were you debating that it's not really what he was, John?
Well, sure, because, you know, I'm from 9 generations of Orthodox rabbis, so I mean...
Oh, dear.
Seriously. I mean, that's the truth. I do go to Catholic Church. I mean, you know,
those
people who like it or don't like it, you know, what can I say? Write me, but I probably won't read what you write anyway. So, you know, if you don't agree with it, you know, I had to find my own way in terms of religion.
Yeah.
I studied all of them, and I attended synagogue for all of my childhood and as a young man. But for some reason, when I married a Catholic girl, the first time I went to a Catholic church, I thought I was going to be hit by lightning. I really did. because that's the way I was raised.
Yeah,
if you go into a church, you know, lightning will strike you. That's the way they raised me. You know? And
that's
I think
kind
Catholic,
of disturbing to me.
Well, no, seriously, I'm not lying. I'm telling you the truth.
No,
and I
no,
think Catholic
dear,
children were told the same thing. Don't you dare go with anybody Jewish. You know, you'll go,
yeah,
you'll burn in hell.
Oh, when my cousin married a Jewish girl, he was a Catholic boy. My grandmother just said she was going to sell him. We weren't allowed to talk to him. Of course, that's the first thing I did is call him and congratulate him. I mean, I'm so good. Very first thing I did. And so,
the way to get Margaret to do something is just tell him
yeah.
the opposite.
Well, the first when they tell me something stupid, that's the first thing I'm going to do is exactly what they tell me.
Exactly what they say not to do, yeah.
Stupid.
A friend of mine who's also from a very traditional Jewish home married a wonderful, wonderful Italian girl. She's raised Catholic, of course, and his parents for a long time disowned him, and never again did they have the kind of relationship that they would have otherwise, but he said, no, I love her, and they're still married 30 years later, so,
but
I
really,
mean.
My yeah. cousin, his wife, they died the day after they stepped on the glass. She had an aneurysm.
Yes.
Oh, really?
And my grandmother, you know what she said?
What?
You see? That's God punishing him.
Oh, God. That's cruel. That is such a bad way to use religion.
Oh, that's what
turns people off to it. And you can't blame somebody who, you know, who says he's an atheist or an agnostic when you hear junk like that, don't you think?
No, I just said, well, guess what? You're going to go blind for being so crazy. And she went, she went blind. They thought I was a witch. I said, you've foreseen all the wrong things. You lose your eyesight.
Did she really?
She did lose her eyesight, and then I got called the little witch because I said things that it came true. But you see, that's my green door. I say what I'm thinking, but I think when you say such horrible things,
sure, that's
that,
right.
You know, that something in me just it's just like a rebellious. I don't know what it is. I can't control it. Well, I can maybe, but that just came out. It was like, really? You know, when you're that stupid, you don't deserve to see what the beauty of. If you're going to be saying such horrible things.
Sure.
I don't know why it happened. I just said it, but it did come true. But I think when you're raised so strict in a religion like I was in Catholicism and you were in Judaism, and now you're a Catholic and I do spiritual work, I don't know the last time I went to Catholic church because when I did, I felt like I was at American Idol and I just resigned from from that company because I couldn't stand it. See one more person and microphones on stage. I went to a Catholic church, and everybody up there was singing, Our Father, who art in heaven, and I thought, oh, my God, I thought I just left the studio. And it was disgusting to me, disgusting. And I thought, you know, I used to only like church for the Latin and the mystery, and I didn't know if I didn't care if I was in Catholic, wherever, just as long as there was the mystery, and you could feel God was there. There was a lot of church God never went inside because the people were so disgusting that why would he go?
Yeah.
Because they're just about themselves and, you know, can I have a hat and can I have a new Ferrari and, you know, could you punish Susie? That kind of thing.
Yes.
But, you know, and people have to watch out what they think. So, you know, when you're raised the way we are, we don't have a lot of time to think about angels. As I said, there's a picture on the wall where an angel's on a bridge. The closest I came to angels and the only way I understood angels, and kid you not, was like Clarence and It's a Wonderful Life because...
Yeah.
You know, that's the way we saw angels. And then we called them walk-ins, you know, because Montgomery called them walk-ins.
Yeah.
And what's sad is that they are such an influential on our life. I mean, they're huge. They just help us with silly little things to big little things to avoid accidents. So, I mean, they're very big in our life. That's why it's so important to me to mention them all the time.
But, Mickey, something Margaret said and something you said reminds me to ask you this. If you are of the nature, the kind of person who says, oh, come on, I don't believe in that, you know. A tchotchke is just a little statue, you know. And if somebody says, oh, an angel, it's just a little tchotchke. It's just a little toy. It's a joke, you know.
Yes.
It's myth. It's made up. Nobody believes, you know, I don't really believe that. Does that person now put themselves in a position where a guardian angel or a guide is going to say, I'm not wasting my time on that dude.
No, they know we're dumb.
Oh, yeah.
Do they still help?
I do. I believe that. I think they know we're dumb because, I mean, you're talking about really hateful people. I just didn't get it. But, I mean, the people, you mean the people who are really just being obnoxious and hateful about
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know the kinds of people I'm talking about. I don't want to give... I don't want to give names, but people will know in the media.
Yeah.
Randy. You know,
hello, Michael. Hello, Randy.
Yeah, you know, some jerk like Bill Maher, you know, a stand-up comedian who thinks he's a great philosopher.
Yeah,
you know.
There's a lot of them, Mickey. You just don't know. They're called Randy, Shermer, Bill Maher. They give us, they put articles about how crazy we are. Cause
Pendulette is another moron.
But they actually never, ever, ever leave us. Because, again, please keep in mind that when we all the same, meaning when we cross over, we all souls, we all powerful light beings.
You see,
come here.
Would they be helped also? No, see, I don't mind that they're... I really don't want to put them down because they don't believe in this. That doesn't bother me. What bothers me is, frankly, that they'll make fun of us for believing in this.
And then they get the same benefits we do. They get helped.
Exactly. Exactly.
I know. They do get help. So what they teach me, because I can be pretty feisty if it's something I don't like what they're telling me. They say what you have to remember, Joel, is their amnesia is stronger than ours. They simply forgot. We forgot. I forgot before I was 30 that they exist, and they refreshed my memory. That's all it is. The angels are there. They actually like to say the word, we are real as me, as you, and another person. The thing is that, no, they never, ever, ever leave. This
Do
is
they
just
take human
dedicated
form,
to us.
Do they take human form? I was serious when I wanted to fly. When people said to me, angels, I will understand. I've had a few walk in, you know, like an insurance company, too. When I said I didn't have earthquake insurance during 1990, I said, I don't have insurance. Yes, you do. No, I don't. Yes, you do. Have you ever heard anybody argue such a stupid thing? I should just said thank you. And finally, but I was trying to tell the truth. And this man writes me an unbelievable amount of money. Believe me, I needed it with the way the insurance, you know, the earthquake ruined my house. Never saw that man again. And I, you know, I did not have insurance. And I kept trying to tell them. He gave me the check anyway. And then there's people walked in when you think you're going to just, some lady came and said, can I have one of your oranges? I said, you can take all of them. And I was having a rough time. I was raising two kids by myself. I was going to the pawn shop, you name it. I came home, there's a bunch of food in my back door. Tracy and Ann saw that, Joel, remember?
I remember. Yeah, I do remember.
And we called my back tree, my call the orange tree.
Ann, I remember, told me, yes.
I don't know who brought that. I call them walk-ins, you know, angels. That's how I see angels. I don't see, you know, spirit, you know, that kind of thing. So that's how, are there angels like that? Are there walk-ins like that look like us?
Yeah, of course they do. That's why I know you didn't kind of got what the email was. They would manipulate anything they can, meaning they either going to use human beings to get their message across. For example, if you just have a bad day, all of a sudden just the right person come, or you overheard some conversation that all of a sudden give you an input of what it is you want to know. If it's important and their guidance do not come across, meaning you do not recognize the guidance, they will absolutely take a form of a human body, absolutely, as well as the guides, but so is the archangels. The guardian angels tend to stay guardian angels, meaning they have an extremely important job to...
Hello?
Hello?
Mickey is... the guardian,
Mickey.
I think... Are you there, Mickey?
Mickey?
Well, I believe that the guardian angels flew right out of our...
I think the angels... I hope the angels didn't take her away.
I think, just for fun, though. Mickey, don't be upset when you listen to the show. I think they flew right into heaven.
What happened there?
I don't. Are you there, Mickey?
Yes, honey. Of
oh!
What happened?
What do you mean? You didn't hear me?
No.
We said we think...
You vanished. We thought the angels carried you off.
Oh, my God. That is weird, because here I am talking, thinking everyone is interested, because they're really quiet.
No, and we're
saying, hey, all of a sudden it cut out. But anyway, you were saying about the angels. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was saying that the guardian angel do usually stay energy being, while the archangel can take a physical body to get their guidance across. Usually they would use other people. Either you overheard conversation or they would send you people to help you. They actually call it earth angels. So they would use other...
What kind of angels?
Earth angels.
Earth.
Oh, earth angels, sure.
Yeah, they do, because they see us human as
sure.
Really bright as they, I mean, light, and they just love human beings.
So the archangel can turn into an earth angel, but the guardian angel always stays in an angelic form.
The guardian angel, I've never heard the guardian angel telling me that they take a shape of a physical. When I ask why, they say because they're very... very much dedicated to our well-being, meaning that we won't cross before our time. So they are the one that's going to watch over us when we drive or accidents. So they are very, very dedicated. They are our guardians.
Well,
so
how do you But how do you address the person who obviously, if he has a close call or she has a close call, says,
yeah.
"Oh my!" Because I know a girl who was almost killed in a car crash, and she, honest to God, said she saw a white form, and she was sure it was a guardian angel who stayed with her until help came because it was a deserted road, and the car had a telephone pole. She fell asleep behind the wheel. I don't know. She may have been drinking. But that's besides the point.
Neither
the point is, though, she was saved, and she did credit the her angels, okay?
Sure.
Now, she even said she saw a form. But what do you say to the people who say, well, if that's true, how do you explain the teenager who's sitting on the stoop someplace in any city, it could be anywhere in the country, and somebody goes by, shoots, or runs up on the sidewalk of the car and literally kills an innocent child? What does that mean? The angels were off watching television? You know, doesn't... what do you say to the people who are cynical and say, well, yeah, sure, when everything goes well, you can say, oh, thank you, angels. But when things go badly, or there's death or tragedy, especially of a young person, some innocent person, some in New York the other day, a very nice young woman who worked very hard to support her family, a single mother, was murdered for no damn reason in the world. Now, what does that mean? Her angels weren't watching over her?
No, unfortunately, Joel, it meant that it was her time. Now, I know it's sound like a cop-out answer, because that's what I tell them when they tell me.
Well,
and
sure, that's what people would say, you know, when somebody who's only 40 with children, sure.
I know, and I say it to them right away, because we have kind of long conversations, so I say it to them, and they said, remember your five senses. They see nothing. They know nothing. They know very real. When you cross over, when that mom of the child cross over, everything would make sense. So that's what I was saying at the beginning of the show, that if you all your life keep saying it's nonsense, you must open yourself, which what I did, you must open yourself a bit to spirituality, meaning trust a bit at a time that the plan is organized. To us, it's unbelievable and unheard of that a child would be gone 2 years old or 20.
Yes.
But you never know. You don't know where that soul is in its soul evolution, meaning its lifetime, meaning it's meant to teach. It could be teach lesson to the parents. It could be that the same time it did to someone else in other life. It's very multi-level. It is fair.
Well,
I know
I saw someone said today, some really, really bright man who came on the show for a show, he was absolutely fascinating the way he broke down words. He says that sometimes, and he's very into the angels, he described it as prisms and lights. He said that sometimes they just want out. They come in, and I've heard this many times through all my teachers, you come in for a certain amount of time and you want out. And if you're evolved enough, you get it that your child just wants out, you know. And some people, like for example, my Ben, he gave Ben as an example.
Your late husband,
Yeah, he said that sometimes they get dis-ease, a disease, and so they can leave the planet, call it, you know, medical suicide. But he called it medical suicide because they're too light, or in some cases people are too dark. Whatever it might be, light or dark. Some people they leave because they can't vibrate to this negativity, and they want out. That old saying, the good dies young. You know, the good dies young.
Yeah, and that's pretty much what I'm saying, I guess.
Yeah, and then but then the one hard one is how a mother leaves her children without a mother. And that always is a hard one. I think you just have to, like Mickey says, go to faith on that one, but so much easier said than done.
Yeah, at least
you
get the feeling.
A lot of time I ask them about seeds. You know that when the little soul, when the little baby die right away. Because I ask what is going on there, you know. And they said a lot of time seeds is to teach the parent a lesson. So that scene, there's so many different reasons. Sometimes you're right, Margaret, the soul just bail out. justify.
That's so
just
cruel.
It seems terribly cruel, doesn't it?
I know.
I had a friend whose daughter was murdered, a beautiful little girl of 11 or 12. She was sexually assaulted and murdered by some mutants who should have stayed in jail forever. And for people who are listening to us in other countries, they may know that the American justice system is sort of crappy. I think that's the medical term for
it.
Seriously, it really is. And now he was a Catholic man, and he was so devastated by the loss of his child that he turned against religion. He broke a religious statue.
Sure.
I mean, he became so bitter. Some of his faith was later restored when George Anderson helped him through some readings and some communications from the other side. But where are the guardian angels who should have protected that child instead of protecting this mutant killer who's now 20 years later or will be soon out of jail?
Joel, they step aside when it's part of the soul plan. It's as unfortunate and it sounds harsh, but that's what they tell me. If it's meant to be within the soul plan, meaning because of karmic debt, because of lesson, because of whatever, they step aside.
It's very difficult. I mean, in some ways, I understand what Margaret says about the difficulty in understanding. Yeah. Elise, have with all of the illness you've had, do you get the feeling that angels or guardian angels have helped you?
Oh yes, they've been there. I was in despair. And at one point, I was in total despair, physically and mentally. And then I was falling asleep, but I was still awake. I saw a huge angel dressed in blue and gold. She was huge. And it was a female.
Yeah.
And she lifted me up into the heavens.
Hmm.
And she lifted me up into the stars. And I felt like I was born new, and I felt healed in a way.
And in other words, you don't think it was just a dream or a dream wish?
No, it was so real. I went off of the earth into the sky, and I saw beautiful clouds and the sun, and it was amazing. It took my breath away, the beauty of it.
Well, people should look at Elisa's great faith and Mickey as well, because right now I know Elisa has horrible medical problems that I would just, again, be just horrified at having couldn't handle them. And Elise can speak so beautifully and so full of faith. I would say that they listen to Elise and take that as a great example. And Mickey, who stands at the threshold of losing your home like within 2 minutes or 2 days or 2 weeks,
unbelievable,
no longer than that, and can still be talking so lovingly about angels.
Yeah, don't you?
And I, we got issues, but we're not in those two shoes. You and I aren't as bad as those two, and we're not as angelic. So
we're not. We're angrier, aren't we?
Yeah, and we got to kick ourselves right out of this little bad habit, my friend, and listen to two women. You know, we better ship up and shape up, Jolie. Say that thing.
Yeah, what are the angels going to do to us, to Margaret and me?
You are as lovely as two that you're just lovely, and you're very evolved. I mean, you'll be quite surprised in many, many years when you cross over. You'll be surprised how evolved soul you are. You just they wish you know that more and believe that more.
Really?
Because I'm quite amazed how much you've learned over your lifetimes.
Well, we have 1 minute remaining, so what do we want to wrap?
Well, I hope Margaret is – I'm sure she's evolved, too. She's
yes,
being
of
modest.
Course.
So we only have a second remaining. So we know Elise loves angels. We know Margaret thinks they're tchotchkes.
No, I'm getting good.
Oh, you're getting better. Well, how do people get a hold of Mickey if they're interested in readings through
Well, they can go to our website, margaretwent.com. Again, Joel Martin would be there, except they've taken his name.
Somebody stole my name.
Spiritual Truth Radio Show, and you'll find Mickey on the front page, and you can go to mickeyjacobs.com, MikiJacobs, and Margaret Wendt, WENDT, Mickey taught me to do that, and so the Spiritual Truth Radio, or Joel Martin Radio.
Bye, Elise. I don't want to not
bye,
say
Mickey.
Goodbye before.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
God bless you, my love. God bless you, too.
Mickey, thank you for joining us today.
One last thing. Do the angels want to say anything to anybody really quickly to the whole world?
Yeah, any advice? You have a few seconds.
For some angelic
advice?
Just believe that the little statue are a little more.
They believe what?
Those little statues are a little more than that little statues.
Okay, so when you see those angels, like when you see an angel statue when you go into a tchotchke store, pick it up. Or an angel
pick it up.
Chain, there's a reason you saw that angel. It's like
pennies
from heaven. Angels, when you see angels, it means something, right?
Yes,
and
it
angels
is.
Like yellow roses, they like flowers, smile as much as you can and play because they like that. So childlike. They
yes.
like childlike. Don't be foolish, child. You know, don't be
right.
don't be a bad
innocent.
Child. But
yes.
Playful. They
yeah,
say
yeah.
playful. Playful
well,
energy.
Thank you for joining us again. And Elise was such a, you know, I it's always so amazing to hear Elise be so up and to hear you. And I thank you. And good night, everybody. And good night,
good
Joel.
Night,
and
good night.
Good night.
See you next week. Blog Talk 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.